Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Diversity LGBTQI Radio. Tonight, I'm having one of my favorite guests coming back on my show. It's Kelly Mantle from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6. I know I was going to have Kelly Mantle on my show a while back ago, but, I mean, some circumstances, had to reschedule. It's good to be back to doing my radio show again because it's been quite some time since I did my radio show. There's a whole entire month of June. It's been crazy. And so tonight I'm going to be dedicating my show tonight to whatever happened, all things that's been happening in Orlando and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's been one of those, emotional months for the whole entire LGBTQ community, and I'm dealing with all the craziness. So I'm gonna be dedicating my show tonight to Orlando. So it's gonna be an awesome show tonight. I'm gonna be talking about what Kelly Mantle's been all up to lately. I know she's finishing up her newest album. I can't wait to hear that because I wonder what all she's gonna be having on her on her newest album. So other than that, really, I mean, it's just, like I said, it's been a crazy month of June. I mean, I went to Gay Pride here in Columbus. It was really good, but it was really, really crazy because they had extreme amounts of security and stuff like that. But, it's due to all the messed up things have been going on lately. What else? And also tonight is the season finale of Game of Thrones. I can't wait to watch that because I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. And there was another one show that I got hooked onto. I don't know if it's a Netflix kind of show or what. I got into the show called The Messengers. It's about these group of kids. They're chosen to be messengers to stop the four horsemen of the apocalypse and stuff like that. I'm not sure if that's just like I said before, like a Netflix show or what. But I got hooked into that show. I got into that and what else? Then, I've been catching up on some other, like, TV shows I haven't seen in a while. I mean, like, it's been crazy. Let's see here. The month of July is going to be busy. It's going to be, I'm also having another one of my favorite guests coming back in July. But I can't divulge who it is quite yet. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see what he's up to. What's all going on with him, because I know he's been, like, traveling and all that right now. He's just promoting his newest works and stuff like that, so I can't wait to catch up with him as well. It's going to be a crazy month of July, It's I just can't believe how fast the month of June is going, to tell you the truth. It's been one of those crazy, months, and it's been going really fast. By the time you know it, it's going to be summer's gonna be over and it's gonna be fall time and I hate to say it, it's gonna be winter, and I'm like, oh, I really don't want to deal with winter yet, but what can you do? So other than that, really, that's about it. I've been really busy working a lot. I'm just doing, living the dream and doing all that and that's really I've been really been doing lately. It's just been, I've just been workaholic. It's like getting to the point where it's like, being a workaholic is just taking a toll on you. I just can't wait to see what's going on with Kelly Mantle tonight and see what's all new with her. I know she performed at Pride in California, We really don't have here in Columbus, for some reason, we really don't you know, we don't have like bands or anything like that performing during Pride or anything like that. Like the bands trying to get their names out there, like local bands who are in the LGBTQI community. We really don't have nothing like that here comes during Pride. I don't know why, but it's only not even 3 days worth of Pride here in Columbus. Not even that. It's probably about basically 2 days of Pride, and that's it. So, I don't know. I have no idea why the city does that. I don't know why, but that's how they do it, I guess. So, other than that, really, what else have I done? That's really about it, really. Just doing stuff. Like I said, living the dream. Enjoying this summer and go from there, really. One second. So I'm just hoping everybody has a really good summer, and I know school's out. It's gonna be, it's gonna be almost time for the 4th of July, and that's gonna be crazy here in Columbus. They do like the whole entire red, white, and boom thing, and that's gonna be insane, tell you the truth. So. Other than that, really, that's it. I'm just dreading this hot weather. It's been really hot. It's been really hot here today because it's like 93 feels like. But I'm glad it wasn't a rainy summer like last year, because I mean it was just god awful last year. So other than that, really, I'm just taking it easy. It's nothing. Nothing really, extravagant going on with me. Let me see here. Other than that, I'm just trying to get everything, situated, because my paranormal group got asked to do a event here in October. So so we're gonna be doing that in October. So we're gonna be educating people on the everything about paranormal and all that. We're gonna be doing that in October. It's almost the right time for almost for like right around Halloween. So we're gonna be doing that here in October. I think it's October 22nd, and we're gonna be doing that. We're gonna be educating everybody about the paranormal, and let everybody listen to what we captured and stuff like that on our investigations that we do. We did some really good investigations over the years and stuff like that. I mean, there are some we're going to be hopefully going to be going back to this year, because I really want to go back to it, because it's like the last time I went, it's I just like kind of all my evidence went magically disappearing off my recorders and off of all my equipment and stuff like that. I don't know how that happened, but so yeah, it's kind of, that was kind of crazy. I just can't wait to see what's all gonna be happening this fall for my show, and also for stuff I'm gonna be doing with my paranormal group. So, what else? So yeah, I just been just listening to some of Kelly Mantle's music that she released not too long ago, and I'd say, I mean, Kelly Mantle, she's one of the most funniest, sweetest, kindest persons I can get to know. I mean, I'd say she's one talented lady. Some of her music is really funny, because the way she has she just does all different kinds of characters and stuff like that, it's like I just listened to one of her songs. I can't remember the name of to save my soul right now. I was giggling through the whole thing, because it was so hilarious. It's kind of kind of had like a 20s vibe to it, and And I also got I have Kelly Mantle's Keyboard Courage is what was on top of my playlist, because I mean it sends a message, you know, about, you know, what's going on with cyberbullying and stuff like all that. Because, you know, I mean, it's kind of, I don't understand people doing the whole entire cyberbullying stuff. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, there was no computers. There was no computers, no internet when I was growing up, no nothing until, you know, now it's like, you know, you have to deal with all the cyberbullying and all, you know, it's like, you know, social media, all that, you know, kind of bullying. You know, what's the sense? You know, I mean, what's people get? Why, I don't understand why people, you know, say trying to get their rocks off, you know, like doing all the cyberbullying and all that crap. I'm like, I mean, it's like, you know, I even see, you know, grown adults, like parents, you know, do cyberbullying to children and stuff like that. I'm like, I mean, don't you have any scruples or morals? You know, I mean, did your parents, like, you know, skip that lesson when they were teaching you or something? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand. Right. Sometimes I really don't understand people. I don't. So yeah. I don't know. It's been really, really weird because people, they just don't understand the whole cyberbullying. So, and I know some states, they pass a law for cyberbullying and stuff like that. But I don't know which states they are, but, you know, I know it's some states and stuff like that. I mean, I think Ohio is working on a cyberbullying law, I do believe. And I think, I'm not sure if it's California or somewhere. I think they did an anti-cyberbullying law, I do believe. I'm not sure if it's California or Seattle or Washington or whatever. I can't really remember what state it was. I just see not too long ago they're passing cyberbullying laws and all that. I know. I think maybe it's Washington D.C. Maybe. I really do not know. I have no idea on that. But you know, I mean, it's probably one of those states. I can't really remember. But other than that, really, it's. Oh, hold on, one second. Can you hear me, Kelly? One second. Sorry about that, Kelly. One second. Sorry, Kelly. One second. Just trying to get my phone here to work. Huh. I hope my phone's not screwing up. Can you hear me now, Kelly? Oh my God, my phone. Oh, I hate this phone, I do. Can you hear me, Kelly? This is really weird. Well, I'm just bear with me, Kelly, here one second. Sorry about that, Kelly. One second. I'm just having a little bit of technical difficulties here. One moment. Can you hear me, Kelly?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that, Kelly. How's it going? I haven't talked to you in so long.
It's going good. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, pretty good. You know, just went to Pride here in Columbus, and, you know, it was one, like, a very long Pride parade here this year.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's, you know, last year it got canceled due to the rainy weather here.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, because it rained for the whole month of June back here.
Oh, that sucks. Well, I'm glad that you all had an extra long one to make up for it this year. There's
a lot to
honor and appreciate and celebrate this year, you know?
Right, right. So what is your new album all about this year, Kelly?
Well, it's kind of taking a life of its own. I'm not trying to make any executive decisions to push it one way or another. I'm kind of just letting it all happen organically.
Uh-huh.
So it's really turning out to be something else. It's kind of a lot of different feels and a lot of different styles going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of acoustics, guitars and pianos, mm-hmm. and strings mixed with other elements, other electronic elements in some areas.
Right.
It's also got a pretty strong kind of backwards influence to it, kind of from my upbringing in Oklahoma and my huge influence from country music, especially some of the vintage country artists like Dolly and Loretta and Patsy Cline and stuff. So yeah, it's really taking on an interesting life of its own. I'm digging it so far.
Do you have a favorite song so far out of your whole brand new album?
Well, right now I think my favorite song is called Equality, and it's a song that I wrote it's a song that you know, kind of stands for what we're all having to deal with right now, I think, which is this strange battle for something as basic as equality. And
right.
I think the irony is that we're having to fight this battle against people who, quite frankly, are so basic. So that's kind of the message of the song is, you know, why am I having to fight, you know, for equality from you, because you'll never be equal to me. So that's kind of my outlook on it.
So do you think, like, these people who are so basic, do you think they just don't understand what we're fighting for and, like, how we're trying to, you know, live our lives, and we don't, like, have to, you know, resort to, like, shadiness in order to live our lives?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think most of those people I think they're just so brainwashed by their Christian beliefs, or I guess in other parts of the country, you know, and even here in America, religious beliefs, whatever religion it might be, that something tells them that if you, you know, are homosexual or transsexual or any of the above, that, you know, you're going to go to hell and you won't make it through the pearly gates of heaven. And, you know, they're all just trying to live their life so delicately to make sure that they make it to heaven, or, you know, get summoned back whenever Jesus comes back for everyone. It's just, you know, it's all based out of, you know, people just being brainwashed by religion and out of their own internal fears of something that's different than them, of allowing something new to happen in this world, you know. They're scared of evolution, you know. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons, you know.
So I'm not sure how much time you spend on social media, but I was like recently, you know, just scrolling through Facebook, like, I think it was like a couple of weeks ago, and I seen this cartoon where it's Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching their children to hate gay people, and you know, And it's kind of weird, and also hate the whole entire, on the community, and it's like they're telling our children, just to hate gay people and hate the community and what we stand for and stuff like that. What is your take on that?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is I think there's a lot of religious groups that are just, that's the reason they keep holding on to this idea that we're in the wrong, because for some reason they think it goes against what God wants. And
right.
It's just not true. I mean, I don't know how else to tell them. I'm sorry, but your little, your little riddle doesn't rhyme. And
right.
Your little fairy tale that you're living is just that. It's a folklore. It's not true.
Right.
And I just find it so difficult that these people cannot comprehend that this all-loving God that they keep referring to would not want everyone to have equal rights and be exactly
right.
who they were born to be.
Right.
So,
and I also think,
simple, it's just a pretty simple theory that they can't seem to grasp.
Right. I also think, that they should, if they don't know what we're going through, they shouldn't be, preaching that, we're freaks, we're abominations and all that. I think
that's the other thing I find so interesting is they're almost obsessed with us. I mean, when I, I don't remember what
like
it was. Yeah, something happened recently. They passed something, and I tweeted about it. And I was so, bewildered by, it got tons of likes and tons of retweets and stuff, but I was so bewildered by how many of these kind of right-wing, conservative, Christian Republicans came out of the woodwork and responded, angrily or in defiance against my tweet. And I'm like, how did you even find me? You don't follow me. And so
you
purposely went looking for tweets from people in, celebrating this so that you could respond with your hatred to it. Like, I don't go looking for them for their horrible, stupid tweets and respond to them. So why are they so obsessed with us and searching for them? That's what weirds me out.
You know what really weirds me out is I think they are so obsessed with us. They think we're some kind of celebrity or whatever. And let's try to find Kaylin Mantle on social media and see what she's tweeting or Facebooking or what. Let's see what's going on with her. And I think that's kind of creepy. It's kind of almost we're having paparazzi following us around 24/7.
Well,
I said,
we're fighting a basic battle against people who are, quite frankly, so basic. So yeah, it's very bad.
So how is your song Keyboard Courage coming? Is it going full force with everybody? Picking it up as their own anthem in a way that they're dealing with cyberbullying and all that.
Yeah, it really did. I was very happy with the response to Keyboard Courage and the video. I think it really resonated with a lot of people the way I wanted it to, because it's a serious topic and the subject and the lyrics of the song are serious, but at the same time, I always like to handle everything with a little bit of comedy and a little tongue-in-cheek. And, I purposely made the video a little cheesy, kind of a throwback to that 80s kind of cheesiness. On purpose, and so, but yeah, it's resonated with a lot of people and it's been doing really well. And I still have people, tweeting about it and sending me messages about it to this day. Just, I think the other day someone had tweeted about it and I retweeted their tweet. So it's still getting some talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time you told me about Keyboard Courage, I think, I've been, listening to it, constantly, because, I wish it was, around when I was, getting on the internet and stuff like that, but now it's kind of it has a life of its own. It's it's speaking to everybody who ever dealt with cyberbullying or some kind of bullying in the nowadays world, because, I found cyberbullying to the point where they it's they're maybe they're feeling something like they're so uncomfortable with themselves, they're just like lashing out at, you know, that person they're taking it out on. You know, I actually seen parents cyberbully, you know, like their kids as friends, and I'm going like, what the hell? I'm like, what's going on with parents nowadays?
Yeah, I mean it's just an epidemic. It's people just feeling very strong behind their keyboards, saying and doing things that they wouldn't do or say in person face to face. I know that. We also have kids raising kids nowadays, so it's no surprise mm-hmm. that parents are also kind of
right.
You know, subjecting themselves to that kind of mentality as well. So,
Before I started my show today, I was actually watching an episode of Azolian Isles that you're in, and I'm like, there's my girl, there's Kelly Mantle right there. I'm like, you're looking really damn good in that episode.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome. I kind of recognized you at first because then I heard you talk. I'm going like, that's Kelly Mantle right there. I'm like, I was going to tweet and everything about it, but my internet was kind of like all kind of went screwy that day, and I'm like, oh crap. You know.
Yay, residual check.
Yeah, I love seeing you in TV shows and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, I wish I had that kind of, you know, talent in order to be on TV. But I don't think I could ever be in front of a camera, and I'll probably get like really nervous and really quiet, you know. And I'm going like, oh my god, I'm like really quiet right now, and I feel like I'm like a deer caught in headlights, and you know.
I actually get that way if I have to be myself. I'm not. That's why I probably didn't do so well on RuPaul's Drag Race. But if I'm acting as an actor, and that's what I've been doing since I was like 5. So when I'm getting to play a character and saying someone else's words, and you're in a scene with other actors, mm-hmm. and you know, so forth, then I get caught up in the world and I don't even think about it. But if I have to be in front of a camera and kind of just be Kelly Mantle and be myself, I'm very shy and very like introverted, and yeah, I don't do real well with that.
So when you do acting, are you always Kelly Mantle, or are you just doing your boy drag?
Well, Kelly Mantle is my birth name, so I'm always Kelly Mantle whether I'm in girl mode or boy mode.
Right.
I don't have like a drag name. But yeah, I do acting as, I get booked as both as an actor. I get booked as a boy and as a girl, or in drag or trans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the above. So, it's more opportunities for me, you know.
Right. It just broadens your horizon, you know, like, you know, they get to see like two sides of you, like, you know, you as a boy and you as a girl, you know, it kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like get to see everything about you, you know, they go like, you know, they go say, you know, Kelly Mantle is like one of the most talented people and funny and charismatic, and she's like just like one of these funny ladies who just like wants to have fun, you know, on camera and just have a good time doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, part of being gender fluid. You live your life mm-hmm. kind of traveling back and forth between genders and all the variations in between. And that's who I am. I'm just a gender fluid, two-spirit person that is very comfortable living both.
So how was performing at Trans Pride and LA Pride in California?
It was amazing. I did not perform at LA Pride, but I performed the weekend after, which is Trans Pride. I didn't perform at mm-hmm. the Gay Pride, but I performed at Trans Pride. And it was such a beautiful evening, just chock full of so much talent. And it was a really great show that John Imperato and all the producers at the Gay and Lesbian Center there at the Lily Tomlin Jane Wagner Theater put together. And it was a beautiful evening. You know, just resonated of power and the fight that we're all fighting right now. It was great. I was very happy to be a part of it.
Right, right. Are you planning on doing any like touring when your new album comes out?
Oh yeah, definitely. definitely. Got to get out there and promote it, you know.
Right, right. You know, it's like, got to get out there and, you know, this is what I'm doing, blah, 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 you know. Are you going to be doing a video for Equality by chance?
Yeah, we're in talks about it right now, about what to do with it. The song, I feel like, is kind of so much bigger than me. I feel like I'm just kind of the vessel that the song kind of travels through and its message.
Uh-huh.
So I'm debating not being in the video and letting it be more about what the song's about. So we'll see what happens with that. We haven't made any... we're in the process of kind of the early planning stages for that right now.
Right. That's really cool. Are you doing any like acting right now, like for like TV or movies or any, or like on stage type stuff?
Yeah, I finished a stage production a couple of weeks ago of Charles Bush's Vampire Lesbians of Sodom, which I absolutely love Charles Bush. He's one of my favorite playwrights. And, it's so funny because someone just tagged me in a picture of he's in the gay pride parade today in New York City, just all dolled up and looking beautiful in the back of a convertible. And a bunch of the cast members from Vampire Lesbians were there, and they took pictures and they were saying, "Hi, Kelly," and "Charles is hi." And it was so cute. And so, yeah, I just wrapped that, and I finished a pilot. We'll see if it gets picked up. If it does get picked up, then that'll be airing in the fall. And I just, yeah, were some of the movies that I had shot earlier, late last year, earlier this year, are just starting to come out at festivals and stuff, here in the summer and in the fall.
Yeah. I just can't wait to see what that TV show is that you just did, the pilot for. I can't wait to see that. Cause I like to see, like, people do like all kinds of things and see what their talents are, see what their hidden gem is. Like, if it's comedy or horror or thriller or suspense, how well they mesh with their co-stars and all that, how they just get along with, like, on camera and all that. Because I like to see that stuff, but you really never really know what they're really like when the cameras stop rolling.
Yeah,
you're there all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, as someone who does a lot of, like, I've done a lot of guest star roles, you kind of come into a machine that's already operating, and the actors are, there every day working, and they might be the stars of the show and stuff like that. So it's always interesting to see the dynamics and how they are off camera. I can't really ever say I've had any bad experiences with anyone. I mean, I've worked with some of the, great names in television. Tyne Daly was just a dream to work with. I mean, she's, a brilliant actress from Broadway and done TV and movies her whole life. So she was just so embracing and warm. And I worked with Wanda Sykes on New Adventures of Old Christine, and I was sitting with her in her dressing room the night that Barack Obama was not elected president, but elected as the Democratic candidate for the first time to run for president. And that was just a moving spiritual experience to be, sharing that with Wanda. And this was the first Black man to ever, get the ticket like this. And it was just moving and emotional. So I've had some really cool experiences with actors like that off camera that have just been, been amazing. I can't really think of anyone that hasn't been cool off camera.
So I can so see you doing maybe Games of Thrones or maybe the Outlanders I could so see a apocalyptic Kelly Mantle maybe in Walking Dead or something like that, where it's post apocalyptic, where she's like, have all the clothes you see like how Michonne has, she wears her clothes, stuff like that, like very post apocalyptic, to the point where there's no Prada or any Xenia or anything or Gucci kind of clothes there, but mostly it's all futuristic kind of clothes in a way, but it's you just can't go down Fifth Avenue and get the clothes,
Right. I love that idea. You should call my agent. You should tell them we want to see Kelly on Game of Thrones. And that's funny because the movie I just did, Middleman, it had two actors in it from The Walking Dead. And
it is.
It's a really, really cool show. I really dig it. Awesome.
I'm kind of sad that the show's going to be ending here soon and stuff like that. But I also think, you know, it's, you know, the creator, you know, I think it's like, you know, it's to the point where, you know, you can only do so much with the storyline and stuff like that. And I'm not sure if you ever seen the show. It was called Petty Dreadful. It was on Showtime. It had like Joshua Hartnett in it, and it had Patty LuPone in it, and all that. And then it said, like, you know, I was watching the last episode of the season, and I'm like, okay, and the show's over for the season. Then like the following day, and it said, like, you know, it was like I think it was on Entertainment Weekly, where the someone who did an interview with the creator said, oh yeah, the third season was the last one. I'm going like, what? I'm like, they left on a cliffhanger.
Oh wow. Yeah, I haven't seen any of it. I've seen it on TV, you know, I've seen it flipping channels, but I've never watched it or anything. But I love Patty LuPone. I mean, you can't go wrong there.
Yeah, you know? She played a therapist in 1880s London. I didn't know that was her until I heard her talk. I'm going like, holy crap, it's Patty LuPone.
Miss Patty LuPone, honey. I think my favorite scripted show on television is Veep. I think it is one of the best written TV shows ever. It is hilarious and so timely right now with everything going on in politics. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus is absolutely brilliant in it, and it's just hilarious. Like, it's the only scripted show on TV that I make a point to actually DVR and watch, like, on a regular basis. It's so good.
I never seen it, but right now I don't have cable.
Yeah, when you get a chance someday. Oh yeah, when you get a chance, like, just crash course it and watch it. It's so good.
Yeah, I can probably see, like, Frankie and Gracie, the show that Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda is doing.
Oh yeah, I want to see that too. I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix only though. It's not original.
Yeah,
and
I've heard it's really hilarious.
It's really hilarious. It's very, you know, funny. You get to see Jane Fonda and them doing like something differently, instead of, you know, Jane Fonda playing the villain or Lily Tomlin being a, like, you know, like somebody else. You're going like, you know, that's not Lily Tomlin. Lily Tomlin doesn't do that kind of, you know, kind of character. But, you know, now she's doing like a character that it's like, you know, it's like her. It's Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, they're both brilliant. I mean, comedy geniuses, gorgeous, funny, hilarious. Love them.
Right. I have a question for you. A friend of mine couldn't call in today. She was wanting to know what would be the best advice to give somebody who is struggling with coming out to her, because she wants to make sure that she says the proper thing, that so she doesn't like hurt that person's feelings.
Coming out to who?
Coming out to her, because she doesn't want to, she kind of knows, but she doesn't want to offend the person.
No, I don't understand your question. She's wanting to come out to her. What does that mean?
She has a friend of hers, and, you know, and she's looking for advice to, I can't think today. Gosh, my brain is broken right now. She wants to know what will be the best way to come out to her friend, like through like a letter or through like a phone conversation.
And she's coming out as gay?
Yes.
So she's a lesbian?
Yes, she's a lesbian, but she wants to come out to her friend, but she doesn't know how to do it without feeling that her friend will reject her.
Well, I think, you know, it depends obviously on the history of their relationship and their friendship, how long they've been friends. But I don't think that she should you know, I always try to encourage people not to fear anyone rejecting you, because even if they reject it immediately, most of the time, if they're a true friend, if they're a true loved one, a family member, whatever, they're going to think about it after the fact and finally come around. But I don't, you know, so I always tell people, you know, don't be afraid. You have to put yourself first, and you have to love yourself above everyone else. It's necessary in order for you to give and receive love. And so that's why I always encourage people just to be authentic and be honest with themselves and with others. And so she should just come out and tell her. The way to do that just kind of depends on what their relationship is like. I don't know, you know, how long they've been friends. I don't know if they go out to eat dinner together some, or if they do more texting or emailing. But I always say it's probably a good thing to tell people in person so that they can see your facial reactions, and you can see theirs, and, you know, you can see the what's happening. So, yeah, if she gets a chance to tell her in person, I would say just basically say, hey, this is, you know, a part of who I am. It's not all of me. It's just a part of me, and I feel like we're really good friends, and I needed to let you know that.
Right.
And
yeah,
I'm sure her friend will accept her, and if her friend doesn't accept her, then just tell her, say, you know, at least you know now, and, you know, hopefully you'll come around to accept me someday, because your friendship means a lot to me, and I love you, so.
Right, right. Yeah, she was kind of, like, really worried because, you know, I don't know her friend, but, you know, I've known her for years. And, you know, and it kind of, like, breaks my heart that she has to go through, like, all that because, you know, her family rejected her. And, you know, and it's like, you know, I kind of consider her as my sister in a way, but we're not, like, blood related, but, you know, but, you know, she's my friend, and she's a sister in our community and like that, you know. It's, but I just wish people weren't so, like, using, like, their religion as a weapon, and, like, you know, like, how, you know, they're, like, just, like, you know, getting all such, you know, so obsessed with us in a way, you know. But
yeah,
you know,
well,
you know, and also
we can't be held responsible for their actions, and we can't be held responsible for their decisions and their reactions to us. And
right.
I know that's very easy to say, but it's very hard to go through, especially if it's a parent that's rejecting you or a loved one or something. But at the same time, that's why I say we have to really, really love ourselves. And I think that's why we're all so many of us have such thick skins and everything, because we kind of have to, because those are the reactions that we get sometimes. It's rejection from people. And we just have to say, well, that's on you. That's not on me. So you live with that. I don't have to live with that. I can wash my hands clean because I was honest with you, told you who I authentically am. And if you can't accept that, then I don't want you in my life anyway. So bye. I mean, it's, you
right.
know, that's the way I look at it.
Right. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you can't accept me for who I am, you know, we can't be friends. And you know, and it's like, I've seen, like, a lot of people who just like, completely, like, write you off, to, you know, when you come out to them, and it's like, you know, it's like,
that's
they go like,
oh. It's absolutely terrible. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and, you know, and that happened to me, you know, a couple years ago. It's like, you know, a friend of, you know, I came out to a friend of mine. He goes, like, you're gay? And he goes, like, I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, like, I mean, you know, we can't be friends. I can't hang around with you because I always thought that you were straight and all this. I mean, why couldn't you, you know, just like do this whole entire, like, you know, like, you know, like live, like, not, I don't say like live the lie, but like, just not like, you know, act on it and stuff like that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because, you know, like it goes, like, it just changed our whole dynamic as friends. And I'm like, well, I haven't changed. I'm the same person you known for years. And, you know, it was like, well, it did change when you came out. I'm like, if you can't accept me for who I am, like, you know, we can't be friends, because I can't have someone who's that negative and so unaccepting and so not so loving to accept me for who I am. I'm like, you know, like, it's kind of like, you know, it kind of threw me for like a 360. In a way, you know, it was, you know, But I think, you know, I think sometimes when people say that, they don't say what they mean because they don't have no filter, you know, and then they go,
right,
they,
that's
like,
why
we're
I
like,
always tell people, I always tell people if you're immediately rejected for some reason, don't, you know, keep the door open. Understand that that person's also having to process new information and
mm-hmm.
keep that door open, you know, and let them know that. Say, I understand that you want to disown me right now or reject me or not be my friend anymore, but I just want you to know that the invitation's always open. Should you give this some further thought, do more research into it, and decide to come back to me and say, you know what, I reacted wrong. I should accept you for who you are. You know, let them know that invitation's always open. I think that's just the best
right.
way to handle it.
Well, that's, you know, like that's what I did. I said to me, I said that's fine. You know, once you come around and stuff like that, you know, you have my number. You know where I live and stuff like that. If you want to like meet for a drink or dinner and talk further, you know, there's the invitation. You know, I'm like, just like look me up. You know, I'm not that too hard to find. You know, I'm like, I'm on social media. I'm like, you know, I don't like, I'm not like people who don't have like a any way of contacting you or anything like that, but it's kind of like heartbreaking because, you know, he was kind of like a brother that I never I have a brother, but, you know, not in the, I mean, it's like we don't talk, but I mean, you know, he was like the brother I never really had in a way.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of crazy that, you know, when you eventually tell somebody, they go like, like someone like, oh yeah, I know for years, you know, and stuff like that. I'm like, you don't have to tell me, you know, I know. And I'm like, before I got the words out, and like my friend goes like, I know that you're gay and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with it. You know, I'm like, you know, even like this one person that I work with, because like, she's like, I know and stuff like that. You know, I'm like, no, what? I'm like, you know, like, she goes like, I know that you're gay. I'm like, well, you do? I'm like, she's like, oh yeah. I'm like, you know, you don't have to worry about me, you know. You know, not liking you or anything like that. She's like, you know, it's like, it's kind of weird. I'm like, my mouth kind of like dropped. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm like, you know, I was like lost for words. You know, I'm like, I never am like that with towards friends. But, you know, I'm like, I'm very happy that she didn't disown me for being a friend and stuff like that. Because I mean, it's like, yeah, that would kind of be weird in a way if she does. I mean, you know, that, you know, I see her like every day, and that'd be kind of weird if, you know, if we weren't friends anymore. That'd be kind of like really awkward, you know, seeing her like every day at work or whatever. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I never really had that actually happen to me as a friend at work. But, you know, I think that'd be the most awkward thing ever, that you see that person like every day at work. If you had like a fallout and stuff like that.
What do you mean, that she knew you were gay?
She knew I'm gay and everything, but it'd be kind of awkward if she didn't accept me for being gay.
Oh.
You know, and being like, if I would see her every day and she'd be like, you know, like she'll like go the other way or whatever, you know, like, you know, go around the other side of the building or whatever. Or it's like, you just be like, you know, I don't know you or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just don't let them affect me. I don't know. I don't know if it would be awkward for, I would hope that it would be awkward for her, but I don't think it should be awkward for us. I think it goes back to what I was talking about with my song. It's not our fault that they're not evolved. All
right.
We can do is try to educate them, and we can try to enlighten them and help mm-hmm. them see the error of their ways. But
right.
If they can't and they don't, then I'm like, well, you're just not evolved. And so you're the one that needs to feel awkward. I'm not going to feel awkward. I'm going to show up here at my workplace and do what I do and be my fabulous self. And if you can't accept that, that's you. Go be awkward about it. I'm not going to be awkward or feel awkward.
Yeah.
I think that's the mentality we have to take in this kind of, you know, war that we're having right now, kind of with people about this equality thing.
Right.
We have to take that stance.
Right.
Because it is true. They're not evolved.
Right. So I know all the things been going on with Orlando and all that. I mean, I didn't hear anything about it until, you know, one day I was like, can't remember where I was going to, and someone goes like, did you hear about it? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you know, she was like, the everything that's been happening in Orlando, like shooting and everything. I mean, it definitely really hit home for us because I mean, a lot of people who don't understand what we go through, and you know, people think I can't really describe it really. It's you know, it's kind of like, you know, seeing like all like the newer generation of the community, you know, being, you know, affected and stuff like that, you know, I feel so sorry for like everybody that was affected by it. And, you know, and I was reading somewhere where one of the people who were who passed away in the shooting, the parents or whatever, father didn't claim their body or whatever. And I'm like,
yeah, I read that too.
I'm like, it's like, why? I mean, I don't know why people do that. I mean, it's like, you know, it's your flesh and blood. And like, you know, it's like, you know, some people or like how you said, not evolved. They don't want to accept.
No, it's disgusting. It's disgusting that a parent wouldn't accept their child's body and death, no matter how they died or what life they lived. And that's why I say,
right,
if you can't accept the fact that your child might be born different than you, whether that be sexual identity, gender identity, whether that be a birth defect of some kind, or, you know, some sort of, you know, something. If you can't accept that, then don't have kids. Simple as that.
Right.
Don't have kids.
Right. Right. I also think, you know, if you're not ready to have kids, why have kids? You know, and you know, my nephew, you know, he just had a kid and he's still a kid, and I'm like, you know, like, shouldn't you wait until you're established in, you know, like your job, or, you know, that you have.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking more in terms in response to the father,
yeah,
not accepting his son.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if you can't accept the fact that your child might be born gay, then don't have kids.
Right, right.
Because there is a
yeah,
very high chance that your mild child might be born gay. So if they are, don't, and you can't handle it, then don't have kids.
Right. You know,
I mean, if
you
can't love your child unconditionally, that's your problem. That's not your child's problem.
Right. You shouldn't push your guilt onto your child, you know, where your child feels like, you know, that they've done something wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
And,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, I mean, you know, you know, I was gay for like a long time, and you know, at the time my mom couldn't accept it, you know, and it took her years to accept it, you know, and you know, she's still kind of funny about it, in a way, but you know, but she's growing to accept it, but you know, but she's not fully there yet.
I mean, it's a journey. Yeah, I mean, we can all be patient with people if they say, you know what, this is something new for me. Normally I would not be for it, but you are my child. So since you're my child, I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm going to do research. I'm going to go to therapy. We're going to go to therapy together. We're going to read books together. We're going to talk about it. We're going to communicate, and you're going to help me understand it. And I'm going to help you understand my point of view. That's all fine. That's all great. That's what we want parents to do. But just to sit there and like put your hands up and be like, nope, don't accept you, you know, I disown you, this is great, that's bullshit. Like, get over yourself. Like, this is your kid.
Right.
Learn about it, you know, and figure it out how to love your kid regardless. I mean, it's stupid that people take that stance.
Right. You know, and like, you know, go to like, you know, like a PFLAG meeting, or go to someone who has a gay child and see, and maybe, you know, they can, you know, educate you on, you know, how to deal with someone who, that you have a gay child. You know, maybe, you know, once you can deal with it, you can accept your child, or could be like gay, lesbian, bi, transgendered, and stuff like that. I mean, it's like, you know, you cannot just like automatically say, you know, oh, I disown you, you're out. You know, there's a door and stuff like that. Pack up your shit and out the door you go. You know, I never really had that, you know, that problem with my mom, but you know, but she didn't talk to me for a while. But I mean, you know, she was trying to absorb all the information all at once. You know, and it's like, you know, it kind of, you know, did a number on her in a way. But now she's accepting and stuff like that. But she's getting there, but she's not fully there yet.
At least she's open-minded about it, and that's good. That's what parents should do.
Yeah.
It's part of being a parent. It's part of the job.
Right. What kind of advice would you give someone who has a gay child? What kind of advice could you give them if they're, you know, just like learning that they're like their son or daughter is gay?
Well, I would say exactly what I just said. I would say, you know, hopefully you can be accepting of it. Hopefully they're already accepting of it and that they, you know, understand that there's nothing wrong with it at all, obviously, and you love that child like you would any child. For someone who has not ever been around it, or for someone who it might mean, you know, my parents, for instance, I mean, they both were born and raised in Oklahoma, and to my knowledge, they, you know, especially in the time period that they grew up in, they didn't know anything or any gay people or anything about being gay. They certainly didn't know anything about trans-related issues or any of that stuff. So my parents are living testaments that you can take your child and love them and say, this is all completely new to me. I have no idea what any of this stuff means. I have no idea what this means at all. But I'm going to strap on my seatbelt and take this roller coaster ride with my child, and we're going to figure it out together, and we're going to accept it because that's who my child is. And so that's what my parents have done. And to this day, my parents are my best friends. I mean, they're very accepting. They're my biggest fans. They, you know, have learned along the way with me. So that is the job of a parent. That's why I said earlier, if you are not able to take that kind of job on, don't be a parent. It's as simple as that. Like, don't have kids.
I said before, I mean, like, if you can't do it, don't have children. I mean, I just wish there was like no, you know, how people use, you know, like, oh, you know, I can't handle it and stuff like that. We just like, you know, like say, just go to like, you know, go to therapy or like read up on it, go to like PFLAG or go to like someone who is a therapist who has experience in like LGBTQI, I can't remember all the little initials, but you know, who has experience in that kind of a field, you know, that, you know, they can give you steps on how to, you know, build your relationship, you know, from the ground up. You know, and you know, and like, you can love yourself, and you know, and deal and start to deal with the process, and go from there. I go like, do baby steps, you know, like, you know, go like say, go to therapy or whatever. Go, you know, do the slow baby steps, not like, you know, jump in a ship like, you know, feet first, you know, and like kind of feel like you don't want to drown and doing all everything at once, but you know, it's, I never, you know, it's. Like my mom, you know, my mom came from like in the 40s, 50s, and stuff like that. You know, she didn't know, you know, anything about being gay or anything like that. I mean, it's like she never knew. Well, she has a gay brother and everything like that, but you know, I mean, they don't. It's that was an emotional roller coaster for her, but it's like, you know, she accepted him, but it was kind of hard for her. But, you know, I mean, once she, I told her I was gay, that was even harder for her because I'm the youngest of four. And she was like, you know, she had like all these, you know, dreams and goals for me. I'm like, Mom, I'm like, you know, I have, you know, I'm still me, but, you know, I mean, you know, I still wanted to do the things I want to do. But, I mean, but she was like, you know, it's not the things I wanted for you and stuff like that. I'm like, I can't help it that the fact that, you know, that was, I was born gay and stuff like that and stuff like that. But she felt that she did something wrong when she was raising me and stuff like that, you know. And but I didn't tell her it was nothing that she did that led to this. And I mean, it's something, you know, that I felt that I needed to do to be me. You know, I needed to live my life for me.
Yeah, it's nothing that our parents do wrong. I think that's a weird excuse that a lot of them just try to use. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But I have very little tolerance with it. I mean, I don't have a lot of tolerance when it comes to that kind of thing. It's love your kid unconditionally. If you can't, don't have kids. That's the way I look at it. It's very easy, actually.
Okay. You know, I mean, I think, you know, I can still see you being a really good parent, Kelly. You know, you like, you know, would love your kid no matter what. You'll do anything for your kid. You know, I mean, you know, if someone gives your kid shit in school, you'll probably go there and like kick their ass for their kid, for your kid and stuff like that. You know, I'm like,
kick someone's ass for my kid. No, I would make a terrible parent, actually. I'm way too self-involved. I would forget that I'd have the child. I would leave it locked up in a hot car in 100-degree weather and forget that it was there. I would make a horrible, horrible parent. But I love children from a distance, and I wish them all the best, and I try to do everything I can for them along the way. But, yeah, having one of my own is too much of a responsibility, you know, which I don't want to take on.
Right. I mean, but you never know. I mean, like, you know, some people, you know, they love having children. Or they don't want to have children, you know, like, you know, if your sisters
you
never
know. I might get pregnant someday and then I won't know what to do with it. So I'll have to have it.
I could see you and somebody like, you're like, ugh, I want my body back, you know.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, at least it will give me an excuse to, you know, go off a diet for 9 months and not work out and just eat what I want. Maybe I should get pregnant. Shit, that's a good idea now that I think about it. What am I thinking?
Find that man that, you know, that you want to have kids with, and that he knows that he's the right one and stuff like that, you know. And then, you know, 9 months later, there you go, you know, it's like.
There you go.
So have you seen the TV show called Transcendent?
I've seen some of it, yeah. I haven't watched it religiously, but I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes myself too, but I think also, I have some friends who are trans like that. I mean, it's like, yeah, I told them about the show and they're like, oh my God, the show is really good and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, and it's like, you know, one can relate to a certain, you know, person on the show and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, also, you know, people who are trans, they go through the same thing as, you know, for us, for being, you know, being gay or lesbian, stuff like that. But, you know, but they have, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't really describe it, but, you know, it's to the point where they need to feel complete and stuff like that. They say, you know, they have a hard time, you know, like, finding love and all that, too. But, I mean, I don't judge. On anybody for what they do, you know. I'm like, I have friends who are, you know, gay, lesbian, bi, transgendered, and stuff like that. I mean, I'm like, I said to them, you know, you got to do what you got to do for you. You know, if you just got to live your life for you. You cannot live your life for nobody else. You just got to do what you got to do for you, and that's what, you know, it matters to you. It's like you got to do it. You know, you can't do it half-ass. You have to do it all. You got to complete it all the way. You know, if you do it half-assed, there is things, you know, like, you're like, oh my God, what did I didn't get to do, blah blah blah. You know, I'm like, and they go, oh, that's right, I want to do this, I want to do that, you know. And it's kind of they kind of go back and forth. You know, you just got to do what you got to do for you. You just can't do it for nobody else. That's what I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, That's why I say we all have to live our lives authentically, and we all have that right to do that. We all have the right to say, this is who I am authentically. This is how I was born. And you don't have the right to tell me that I don't have the right to live that life.
Right. You know, I support all my friends for what they do. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's what I kind of find funny. You know, I have like a lot of straight friends who are girls. Every time they have like a boy problem, they always like come to me and say like, you know, Jason, you know, like, I have this boy problem, you know, I don't know what to do and stuff like that. I really don't know anything on the subject about, you know, like a lot of, you know, heterosexual relationships, but, you know, I have a lot of experience, you know, with boys and stuff like that. I said to you, you just need to do this, you need, you know, do that, you know, maybe, you know, do whatever. I mean, but you just got to listen to your gut on what you want to do. You know, I'm not going to, you know, going to be whispering in your ear or anything like that. You just got to, you know, do what you have to do in order to, like, fix the problem. You know, I'm kind of like the therapist at work. You know, I'm like, everybody comes to me for everything. I'm like, I don't got time right now. You know, I'm kind of busy. You know, it's like, just like, you know, it's like, after I get off work, just like, you know, it's like, just pull me aside and we'll, like, you know, like, chat or whatever. I'm like, you know, I just can't, you know, do my job and listen to you at the same time, because it's kind of, you know, kind of productive, you know.
Exactly.
You know,
well,
but it's, you know,
aside from the fact that coming from someone who has dated many a straight man in my life, they are the biggest drama queens in the world. They want to say that girls and we are, no, they are the biggest drama queens in the world. So that's what you tell your girlfriends anytime they come to you, to say, honey, he's a drama queen.
Yeah, my very first boyfriend, you know, he was bisexual. I don't want to mean or anything, but I really don't believe in bisexuality. That's my own thing. I'm like if you're bisexual, man, that's fine. I really don't believe in it. I'm like, I always, you know, felt like, you know, I was never attracted to girls like that, but they got like, you know, that you're a guy.
Well,
girl.
I am
yeah.
proof that bisexuality exists.
Well, I mean, it's just never, you know, really, you know, experienced it with bisexuality, but I mean, I dated someone who was bisexual, but, you know, I mean, it's, you know, whatever you feel comfortable, you know, do it. I'm like, you know, like, you feel comfortable with boys and girls, you know, I mean, you know, that's you. I'm not going to judge you and stuff like that. I'm saying I never really, you know, experienced it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Bisexual through and through. I love both. It's very real.
Yeah.
It's very real,
like,
and very possible to love both.
Yeah. So do you have anything else in the works? As like more than like music wise, you got like any like movies coming up or anything?
No, just the ones that I've already filmed, and they're hitting the festivals this summer and this fall. So that's really all that's coming out right now. And I'm kind of taking it easy this summer, just working on the record, and then hopefully, you know, when August rolls around, and start getting back into more TV and film gigs and go from there. You know?
Yeah. I'm really hoping that you come off to Columbus when you do your new CD comes out. And yeah, I mean, I've been really bugging the friend of mine who does like the booking at the club. I'm like saying, you get Kelly Mantle out here ASAP and stuff like that. He was like, I said to him, like, here's her, you know, this is how you get a hold of her and stuff like that. You know, I don't know, you know, if you do all your booking yourself or you have someone do it for you, I don't know. I said to him, you know, this is how you get a hold of Kelly and stuff like that. You know, I mean, you know, he's got, you know, it's like,
yeah,
what you got to do.
I've got some managers that does all that. But I cannot wait to come back to Columbus. I had such a great time there, and I loved it so much. So I will definitely make a point to come back to Columbus.
Yeah, I remember the day that I seen you in Columbus at Access. I was going to get down there and meet you. You know, but you weren't, you know, I know that you had other things to do when you're in Columbus, but, you know, I miss Kelly Mantle. I'm like, darn it. I'm like, that's on the same day that you were there with Raven and everything.
Oh, yeah. I love my Raven. Love my Raven, John.
Yeah, I could so see you and Raven, like, maybe, like, doing, like, a collaboration, like, in a music video or something, like, have a cover in the music video.
Well,
it's funny
you said that. I've been trying to talk her into it. I mean, not so much, a collaboration with me, but I've been trying to talk her into getting into the studio and letting me record her and singing because, you know, she says, oh, honey, I'm not a singer. And I'm like, I know there's a rock and roll star in there somewhere. And
right.
I'm willing to search for it because I love her so much. So, yeah, one of these days I'm going to get her in that recording studio and we're going to give her a song.
I know, right? She kind of reminds me. I remember the first time I met her. She was really, really sweet. I'm like, you know, and it's like, I mean, she was a lot taller than me, and I'm like, hey, Raven, how are you? And stuff like that. I'm like, you know, I'm 6 foot, and but she was more taller than me when I met her and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, I actually had to look up and, you know, to talk to you. I'm like, it's like I'm not used to like looking up. You know, I'm used to like seeing like eye level, and I was like that. I'm like, she was so gorgeous. I mean, the night that I seen her, she had this this 20s vibe, kind of like, you know, like flapper gown net on. I'm going like, I was saying to my friend was like, you know, I was with a friend of mine. She was like, I want that dress right now.
Yeah.
You know,
makeup is absolutely like just immaculate. I mean, that makeup is crazy. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I just admire her because, you know, it's the way she has like this presence, you know, amongst her fans. And I'm like, it's like catchy. It's like contagious.
Yeah. She's a great girl. Love Raven so much.
Do you think you'll ever go back on to Drag Race, like for like All Stars or anything like that?
Well, I never say never. I mean, you know, I never say never. I'll just say that. You know.
Yeah.
Because the minute I say never, then I might show up on it. You never know.
Right. You know, you said you never know. You might even end up on James St. James Transformations, whatever, you know, like how he has like different girls from Drag Race come on, you know, do transform him into like a drag queen and stuff like that. You know, I mean,
I adore James St. James. I mean, we've known each other for years. I adore him, but I am not a makeup artist by any means. I do my own makeup, and it's very color by numbers, and it's that one simple that I know how to do. And it's like, if I had to go on his show, I don't know what I would do. I've never put makeup on another person's face before. So I would not. I'm just not the right material for that particular show. But if him and I did something else together, I would love to do a little talk show with him or something. But yeah, I don't put makeup on people. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Because, you know, the face is different. You know, oh girl, I can make sure I get that. Get the blending in just right and stuff like that. You know,
he'd look horrible when I was done with him. He'd look terrible. He'd be so embarrassed if I wouldn't want to post it.
Can you only imagine if Michelle Visage seen that? She's like, oh, girl, that your makeup is busted. It's bad. It's horrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, she already knows. I never claimed to be a makeup artist. That was not something that I studied all my years of, you know, acting and doing music. I never studied how to be a makeup artist because I didn't care. I had people doing it for me. Why would I care?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, it's kind of like some people who, you know, they can't do their own makeup. They have, like how you said, they have people do it for you. And I would feel weird about that, have people do my own makeup, you know, I mean, because it's like, you know, someone else's hands, you know, doing your makeup for you. And you're going like, I'm like, kind of like that, kind of like control freak issue.
I'm getting better at my own makeup, I think. I'm learning little tricks and trades along the way, you know, performing with a bunch of the other girls on the road and stuff. I go, oh, teach me how to do that. And they're like, oh. So I'm learning, you know, it's fun. I'm learning, but a makeup
There's
artist,
nothing
I am not and never will be. So.
But, you know, I'm not sure if you ever seen Party Monster that was based on James St. James' book called Disco.
Gorgeous movie.
I love that because, I mean, I love that movie because I remember hearing about it from friends and friends and friends of friends. It was like, oh, they go, oh, girl, you need to watch that movie. I'm like, what's the movie called? I'm like, it's called Party Monster. And I'm like, I found the documentary about it, and then I found the actual movie that had, like, Seth Green and Macaulay Culkin, and it also had Marilyn Manson in it and stuff like that. And I'm going, like, this is really good. It's like, you know, this kind of reminds me of, like, the 80s and 90s, you know, growing up and everything. But, you know, we didn't have, like, no bars like that in Pennsylvania, like Club Kids and stuff like that. It's mostly, you know, like, you know, it was mostly not your typical gay bar, but it wasn't like there was like no bars for Club Kids at all where I grew up at.
No, we didn't have anything like that in Oklahoma.
If you did, there'd probably be like an underground scene, like in New York where they took over like a streetcar and they started like partying in a streetcar and stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So,
we just did line dancing at the lesbian Kenshi bar. That's all we did.
I can't do line dancing.
That's my ticket to ride, honey.
I have two left feet when it comes to line dancing.
Oh, no. You get out there and line dance. You ain't live till you line dance.
I would fall over
till you line dance.
You know, if you could teach me how to line dance, you know, I'll do it.
I will teach you how to line dance to the Cotton Eye Joe.
Cowboy boots, and then there you go.
Yes, exactly, honey. Live your dolly fantasy. Well, I have got to run now because I've got to finish my makeup because I'm going to perform at Uncabaret tonight, downtown L.A. Got a wonderful lineup of people and comedy and music and storytelling, so I'm excited.
Yeah, be careful of the L.A. traffic now, Kelly, because there might be a paparazzi in a vehicle, right, and take a picture. I'm like, bitch.
So, honey, I got my muscle car, and I speed all the way down that freeway, and ain't no one getting in my way. I'll run them over. I'll get $2.
Ooh.
That's the way I roll,
honey.
I like my cars fast and hard.
Yeah, amen on that, you know. it's like you don't want to piss off Kelly Mills. She'll run your ass over.
Damn right I will.
So I hope you have a good time tonight. So I hope you don't party too hard. You know, I don't want to see an LA Times. You know, Kelly Mantle, like, you know, like got arrested in downtown LA.
I might be laying in that ditch under the 101 with Courtney Love. You know, you never know.
Or you know, might be laying in Betty Ford Clinic with Courtney Love, and like she's like, oh girl, what you doing in here today, girl? I'm like, I got ordered to rehab because you know I had a little problem with little Elky.
Exactly, you know, just a little fun, just a little LA fun. Well, you take care, sweetheart. Good talking to you, and happy Pride Month.
To you, Kelly, happy Pride. I'm like, you know, I mean, hope you get out there and do some more fun and record some, like, more good music. Can't wait to hear from your album. And, you know, I really can't wait to meet you when you come back to Columbus because I'm like, I got to say, Kelly, you're one of my favorite queens from season 6. And, you know, I'm like, Kelly, you know, after you left season 6, I stopped watching it. I really did. I'm like, my girl was robbed. You know, she didn't get to spend more time on the Drag Race. I was kind of mad at Rue. You know, because she's like, I'm like, girl. I'm like, you don't get rid of my cat mantle.
That is so sweet of you. Well, go back and watch it though. It's wonderful. Bianca Del Rio is one of my favorite people in the whole world, and she's hilarious on it. So no one deserves to win that season more than her. So when you get a chance, if you haven't already, go back and watch it because it's hilarious. She's wonderful.
Yeah, I actually got to meet her not too long ago.
Yeah,
and
she's a great person.
She was hysterical.
Oh, hilarious. Makes me laugh till I can't even pee. Hilarious.
You know, I'm going to give it another try. You know, I can't really promise anything, but I'll give it another try. But... So yeah, just let me know when you come back to Columbus, and you know, see if we can, like, you know, maybe do like lunch or and just, like, hang out or something like that, you know, and go from there and, like, you know, watch you perform at Axis.
Sounds good, sweetheart. I'll be the the first I'll let know as soon as I'm back in Columbus.
All right, will do. Thanks, Kelly. I hope you have a good Sunday and try to leave those boys alone now, girl.
I certainly will. Have a good one. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I just want to say thank you to my good friend Kelly Mansell for coming on my show. She took time out of her busy schedule. You know, I love her so much. She's what I call a really good friend, and she's like a sister from another father. You know, I mean, she's hilarious. I love her to death. So next week. Oh God, what's next week? Oh God, I can't even think right. I'm telling you, my brain's been busted. Let me see here. I can't remember who I have next week. I'm getting to that point where I need to get a manager or some shit, man. So next week, I'm taking July 4th weekend. So I'm having a guest coming on July 10th. My good friend Gerald McClellan, from Bear City, and he also did a movie called Daddy. I can't wait to talk to him about that. I'm trying to find Daddy on the Daddy movie. I'm trying to find that, but I'm having a hard time finding it. But we're going to be talking about Bear City, you know, like, you know, I'm hoping him and, you know, and Tyler get back together because they're made for each other. So I'm hoping they get back together in the last movie. So yeah, I know he's been traveling a lot during that. So we're also going to be talking about more about his role as Bobby Dawson from CSI. So yeah. Can't wait for that. So yeah, I just want to wish everybody happy Pride. I mean, I know it's Pride Week up in New York. Like how Kelly was talking about, it was up in New York. I mean, we had Pride here in Columbus last week. You know, yeah, we had Pride last week, and I had a really good fun doing that. So, you know, other than that, really, you know, I just want to wish everybody happy Pride, happy Pride, happy Pride, you know, all throughout the world. I just can't wait for everything good to happen. You know, I just want to see everybody, you know, get along in the community. I mean, I know, you know, there's people have their cliques and stuff like that. You know, they just don't want to. I don't want to see fighting in our community because it breaks my heart. So, I mean, I just wish everybody can just get along and not be rude about it and stuff like that. People just feel like that they think they're all that in a bag of chips, and you're really not, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm going to be having Gerald McClellan back on my show. So he's going to be on July 10th. So I'm going to be taking next week off from doing my show because, you know, I'm going to be a busy working girl. You know, I'm going to be work. And, you know, and after that, really, I'm going to be taking it easy for a little bit. I'm just going to be doing my show and, you know, having just work and, you know, and you know, in the fall, I'm going back to school in the fall. So I'm going to be doing that. So I just need to reprioritize my goals and all my career, my job, and all that. You know, all I gotta say, you know, my website's almost done for my show. I'm still working on it because I've been so lazy lately. It's not even funny because I've been working like 70 hours a week and stuff like that. And it's been so crazy for me. So I want to apologize because people haven't heard a new episode from me, because I apologize for that, because it's been, you know, been busy, crazy. So yeah, I'm working on a lot of like new stuff right now. So I just hope everybody, you know, had a good time, you know, talking to Kelly Mantle. You know, I wish I could have had more time with her today, but, you know, like I said, she took her time out of her busy schedule just to come on my show. I love her to death. She's the sweetest person ever. Love her to death. So, I really have to cut this short, But so next week is gonna be a rerun of whatever one I can figure out who I want to have played. So on July 10th will be Gerald McLuhan, so from Bear City and his new movie called Daddy. So I'm gonna be talking about that. I'm hoping I can find that movie. So yeah, I need to run. I'm gonna be meeting some friends for dinner and drinks. So I need to get going. I need to you know run out that door and and get downtown and meet my friends for dinner and drinks and have a good time. Maybe go out for a little bit. I really don't know. Tell you the truth, I don't know. So yeah, just check out my you know, 2 weeks from today, I'll be on July 10th with Gerald McLuhan from Bear City. He played a character named Roger, and also, he was in a movie called Daddy, so he's going to be doing that. So we talk about all kinds of stuff, honey. So I hope everybody has a good weekend. Hope everybody's, enjoying their summer, and hope everybody has a safe and happy July 4th. It's going to be crazy. I know today is the last day for ComFest here in Columbus, Ohio. I really didn't get into ComFest this year because it's been crazy. So, yeah, it's probably going to be busy downtown Columbus tonight. Probably. I really don't know because I'd stay away from that drama. So I hope everybody has a good time. I hope everybody enjoys the last day of ComFest for people here in Columbus, Ohio. Have a safe and happy July 4th that's coming up. And I just want to say, I know my middle sister, her birthday's coming up here, so I'm going to have to wish her a happy birthday. So, other than that, I got to go. So tune in from 2 weeks from today on July 10th for Gerald McLuhan. And, I'll be back by then to have that show. So hope everybody has a good, weekend. I know Monday's coming up. It's going to everybody's going back to work tomorrow. The little monsters are out of school for the summer. So, yeah, I hope everybody has a good weekend and just enjoy what you got left for the weekend and party hard and stuff like that. That's what I'm going to be doing later. See what all kind of trouble I can get into tonight. I don't find trouble. Trouble finds me. But, yeah, so I'm gonna make a mad dash to get out of here. So tune back into July 10th on Diversity LGBTQI Radio for Gerald McLuhan from Bear City and the movie Daddy. So I hope everybody has a good weekend, and I will see everybody in 2 weeks. This is your host, Jason Belcher from Diversity LGBTQI Radio. Have a good night. Have a rest of a good weekend, and see everybody in 2 weeks. Good night, everybody.